word of the Lord today,
tonight, this afternoon, to thank the Lord for salvation. That's the most wonderful, wonderful thing that ever happened to mankind. He created us, He washed us in His blood, and then He saved us and delivered us and made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I want to ask us this afternoon, what are you thankful for? And think about that a moment. Think about our children. Think about our companion. Think about our health. Think about whatever amount of financial resources we may have. Thankful to be an American. Thankful for this. Good food, clothes on our back, shelter, good automobile. The list can really, if we think about it, can just go on and on of what we're thankful for. And it's subjective to the individual many times. Subjective to what maybe you or I hold dear as compared to what someone else might hold dear. We can be thankful in everything. We can be thankful for what God has allowed us to inherit and enjoy. But I'd like for us to think a little bit today about being thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not really a pleasant subject when you think about blood and the shedding of blood. I've never been to a sacrifice before. I've slaughtered animals, maybe you have, and I don't really relish ever working in a processing house. I used to raise animals, and I've slaughtered them and dressed them, and it's not a very pleasant experience. It wasn't something I just jumped up and down and said, oh boy, today we go out and butcher the animals. You remember when your mother, some of us can remember, dressing the chicken, cleaning the chickens? It wasn't a pleasant thing. When you think about shedding of blood, the old law system, it could not have been something that was just pleasant to behold. An innocent white lamb and slice its throat, the blood go forth, the white becomes red. Sin must be a terrible thing. Sin must be a terrible thing. Because the atonement for sin is not a pretty picture. We might glorify the cross spiritually, but it was not a very glorious sight to behold. You had to look beyond the cross and what was happening at literally and see what was being atoned for in our life. And you think about it, the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sin must be a terrible thing. I've cut myself before. You've cut yourself. Maybe you've been up on an accident before, come up on an accident or been in an accident. And again, we've probably all seen or been around butchering of animals. So the Lord in His wisdom, but more than that, the Lord in His judgment and His justice required something because of sin. Thinking about, I came defiled and guilty. That's the only thing I could say is I'm guilty. And the song said here, I marked a couple of songs. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things in life that are beautiful. There are a lot of things in life that are costly. There are a lot of things in life that are precious. But when it came to the atonement for the transgression of your life or mine, it took that blood sacrifice. It took a very ugly scene. It was the wrath of God being poured out, the judgments of God being poured out, and not on you and me and our neighbor, but upon His Son, Jesus Christ. It pleased God, He says over in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It pleased God to do this. He knew in it was the atonement of our sins. And God hath placed on Him the iniquities of us all. So that gruesome scene at Calvary was a very, very... It couldn't have been pleasant. Could not have been pleasant. And yet there was something precious happening there. I want to think about it a little bit. What can wash away your sins, my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What can restore me to where God wanted me to be? Nothing but the blood. Today we want to worship the Lord. We want to worship the Lord and say thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. I want us to kind of think a little bit now. And Ephesians, the second chapter. Read a few scriptures here. We sang another song, From Death to Life, He Lifted Me. That's a pleasant thought. From death to life. What did that? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What can restore the joy of my salvation or thy salvation? Nothing but the blood. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with a very dear price. We've been bought with a price of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And He says, therefore, we ought to glorify Him. We ought to worship Him. We ought to praise Him. We ought to, as we've heard in the meeting so far, allow the effectual workings of God in our life to become effective to the point it makes dynamic changes in us, completes us, and ye are complete in Him. Cause you and me to measure to the stature of the fullness of the fullness of Christ. That the very presence of Christ would be on display in my life, in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to kind of, oh my. But that's what God is looking for. It's His presence in you, and you, and you and me. And He's saying, how does that come about? I'm asking that. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Not by the works of this man's hands or your hands or any other thing. But God, who in great mercy looked down on us and said, I want to save those people down there. I love them. And the only way to do it, Jesus, and I know this not Bible as such, but He sent His Son. So perhaps there was a spiritual conversation. And He said, there's only one way. You've got to shed your blood. For that, you've got to take on the infirmities of the flesh, the emotions and the feelings. You got to stump your toe. You got to have a gravel stuck in the bottom of your foot. You've got to be ridiculed and laughed at. And I have a little exception to take with pictures of Jesus. I'm not just categorically against them. I don't mean that. But they always portray Him as so beautiful. The Bible said He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Why? Because He had a mission, and upon Him was the very weight of mankind. They always show Him with His hair slicked down and pretty. I don't know, He might have looked more like John the Baptist, really. Because He wasn't anything in Him that our eyes would behold Him and say, oh, how beautiful He is. You know, they say, and this is not a political message, but one reason John Kennedy got elected over Richard Nixon, it was the first time the debates were held on TV, and he was good looking. It wasn't anything in Christ that we looked upon Him and said, I'm going to follow Him. So today, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Absolutely nothing else. We're going to read here in Ephesians a moment ago. Let's read that. Ephesians 2 and read down a few verses. And you hath He quickened or made alive, raised from death to life. To you He has infused with the very Spirit of life. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. There's a song that says, remind me, dear Lord. Remind me where you brought me from. Remind me, Lord. I'm human and I forget. I think when the blood has washed us and cleansed us, we're new creatures. All things become new. And God removes the guilt and the shame of that, the disgrace of that. And we have right standing with God. But we never want to lose the fact that we were sinners and we were lost. And the price that was paid for that was the blood of Jesus Christ. That gruesome, if you will, that very unpleasant scene. It was so agonizing. I personally am convinced Jesus had seen people crucified. I believe that. The Bible doesn't say that. But that was not uncommon. He went to the garden recognizing the agony that was coming up on Him, and He said, if it's possible, is there any other way? Maybe he was reasoning with God. Maybe it was the flesh crying out. Maybe he was, whatever it was, he was recognizing the agony of it, and he hadn't done anything wrong. The blood was having to be spilled now. The lamb was going to have to be brought before its shearers. It's done. He opened not his mouth. They did all manner of evil toward him and upon him. And they led him away in terrible condition, beaten, bloodied, crown of thorns, spit upon, all these things. And then the humiliation of being hung on a cross between thieves. And he was numbered with the transgressors. You think about this. We must have been in bad shape. And I want to tell you something. We're in bad shape without him today. We're in bad shape without him. Jesus said it so clearly. And how many times we want to forget it? Without me, you can do nothing. And yet, sometimes humanity is going to lift itself up by the bootstrings and say, look at me. We don't have anything to glory in, do we? So we were sinners. We were lost. Mankind was lost. And wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. Don't you think about that a moment. There's something about humanity, once we get ours, we kind of look down on people that don't have it. And I speak as a man. I'm not speaking as a saint of God. I'm not saying that. There's something about us that, well, I got myself $5 and you don't. Well, look at me. We're in times past. Where'd you come from? Where'd you come from? I'm not going to ask us any verbals, but where'd you come from? What kind of sin was in your life? There was a harlot that came to the Lord. There was a tax collector that had cheated people, evidently. There was all manner of people, and Jesus forgave them. Where'd you come from? Sometimes, if it was possible and the devil would have his way, we would forget that we walked that way also. Maybe we weren't a prostitute. Maybe we weren't a tax collector that cheated people. Whatever, but we had our conversation there. We had our conduct there. And the very reproach that fell upon them fell upon us. And Jesus said, in the reproaches of them that reproach thee, he took that for us. He received that upon himself. So, I think about it. What can wake me white as snow? What can clean me up? This other song I marked, Are You Washed in the Blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Good question, isn't it? But to those of us that have been washed, we had our conversations back there at one time. We walked according to that, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Did you know I am convinced that if you and I did not have Christ in the blood, we would walk according to the course of this world? I did, didn't you? And I'd go home or I'd do something that I knew was wrong and I'd feel so bad about it. And you know what I'd do the next day? I'd go out and do it again. And I'd apologize, and you know what I'd do? I'd go out and do it again. We would, without Christ, our conversation would be right back in that same rut. Remember one time years ago down in Shreveport, Brother Clifford Wilson was preaching, and someone asked from the audience, Brother Clifford had mentioned that he smoked before he was saved, and he, I don't know all of it, but the question from the audience, from the congregation came out, well, Brother Clifford, if you was to backslide, would you go back to smoking? And he paused a little bit, and I'm going to have to say it the way I remember it, not verbatim. But he said, that was the weakness I had, that was an appetite I had, and most likely I would follow right back into those same footsteps. Because without the grace of God, we have absolutely nothing. So we all walked according to that, and what's going to clean us up? What's going to wash us? What's going to make a difference? If I give my body to be burned, is that going to make a difference? If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, is that going to make a difference? Is that going to cause you and me to be in right standing with God? What is going to make a difference? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only atonement that was ever given. And he said we had our conversation. We walked in that according to the work that in the children of disobedience even today. So I will say to us, we never okay sin. We never say, go and sin some more. But at the same time, God help us to have a merciful heart. I tell people, don't quit praying for the sinner. I was one too. You know, don't quit praying for the man or the woman out there. And remember Brother Marty here a couple of years ago preached us a message here about, I think he was at a little gas station or something, and you saw somebody come in there that, and you kind of wanted to look down on their attire and all, but the Lord started speaking to him, and again, this is my words, and let him know that the blood had cleaned that and make a new creature in Christ Jesus out of it. Just, we got to be careful, don't we? Among whom we also had our conversations, our conduct in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What separated us? What cleansed us? What made the difference? Here he said it in the fourth verse. And I don't know if I think I'd have been writing this or typing this out on a word processor. I'd have kind of got my fonts a little taller and I'd have got my bold out. I might have put it in big red or green letters. It says, but God. Had it not been for God who was on our side, now may Israel say, the waters would have overwhelmed us. And they did overwhelm us. But God, who is rich in mercy, with a great love, he loved us. How great was that love? Well, we've seen the little sign. I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he said, and he spread his arms, and he said, this much. And now may I say, there was blood coming from those arms. There was blood coming from that back. There was blood coming from those feet and from that head. And when they pierced his side with a spear, there was blood and water came forth, cleansing and purifying the repentant man and woman. Those of us that had our conversation, we've come to the fountain and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, tonight, whatever this is, afternoon, let's praise God. Let's thank God for the blood. It was gruesome. It was ugly. It was terrible. And don't you imagine some people got nauseated? But mine and your salvation was right there. And God put on him the wrath, the sins of us all. Came to a place. And I know there's all kind of conjecture, and I'm not going to say this is the only reason. But Jesus Christ tasted death for us all. He tasted sin for us all on the cross. And he tasted the alienation from the Father. I believe he did it for us all also. So he could be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. As that blood poured out, as that strength went from him, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved you and me when we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. If you were going to pay a good price for something, and you wasn't sure of the outcome, what would you do? Probably I would do something like this. One, I just wouldn't do it. It's going to cost too much, and I have no assurance it's going to work. I have no assurance. Or I'd start making some contacts ahead of time. I'm thinking about doing something. If I was to do this, you think you could join in? And you think this would work? And I'd go out and get advice. I'd want at least some people to agree with me that yeah, you do that and I'll sign on, but you really got to do that first. Well, that'd give me a little courage maybe. But remember that God so loved us that while we were yet sinners, before we ever committed ourselves, in Christ, in the due time, Christ died for us, the ungodly. He didn't come down to Stan and say, Stan, I'm looking for at least one person to live for me. I'm going to die. Will you live for me if I die for you? His love went out without measure. It went out without any price that I had to pay. He didn't bargain with mankind. He didn't come down and say, now, I'll send my son if I can get 100 names on the list. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, our great God and our loving King, who is rich in mercy. How do I know he's merciful? How do I know he's rich? Because I know where I was. I know the unbelief. I know the stagnancy that was in my life. I know the sin and the corruption and the defilement and the angers and the all these others, the habits. How do I know he's rich in mercy? Because he loved me and he died on the cross, and it took a great Savior to do something that way. But God, who is rich in mercy, what do you think about God today? What do we think about him? I think if we look at him, well, we should look at God, obviously, completely as we can. But, you know, I think if we had looked at God as from the point that Look where you brought me from. Look what you've done for me. Look what you saved me from. Look how you've changed me. What a wonderful change, Lord. But God, who is in rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So when we were in that condition, the blood. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everything we have, we owe to Jesus Christ and His willingness to shed His blood. He came to a place at the Last Supper, that we call it anyway, and He had a cup, and He said, "This is the blood of my testament, the New Testament. This is my blood that was shed for the remission of sins." And He gave it to them, and we see them sitting around a table, but in the Last Supper picture, but they may have been laying. I don't know. That doesn't really matter. But He gave the cup to them, and He said, "Here, drink ye all of it. Immerse yourselves. Take advantage of all that it is. The sin you must religion. The sin you can't help it. The sinner I am, and even I'm a saved man, but I'm just a saved sinner." That refuses to take the full atonement, the washing of the blood, the regeneration, the old passing away, and behold, things become new. It takes away from the scripture that said, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Now, we have this blood atoned for us. And He reaches out to you and says, "Take it. Be washed in it. Be cleansed. Not just your committed sins, but your spirit, your heart, and your soul, and that old Adamic nature, and that old nature that's prone to wander. Don't stay just here in the holy place. But now you can go with boldness into the most holy place through the blood of the covenant, the everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus is applied, and now we can enter into the most holy place through the blood of the covenant." That's the only way we could. They went in, was it once a year to the most holy? And if you went in any other time or any other than the high priest, that was it. Curtain, he was gone. He was dead. The high priest, I don't know all the rituals he went through, but there was a close examination, and if he went in without the blood, he was gone too. The only way to enter into the very holiest of holies is having our conscience sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Our heart, our soul, our mind, the blood takes it away. The blood is the cleansing. The blood is the atoning sacrifice. So, I don't know the ritual. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But that priest went in, and he went in with blood. And he made atonement for the people. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we now can come boldly to the throne of grace, but not without blood. And He raised us up. And even when, fifth verse, and when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Where is Christ? Excuse me. He's at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews will tell us that. Jesus said Himself, "I go back to my Father, my God and your God, my Father and your Father." He went back to the Father to be there for us. And the glory that He had with the Father, He transferred to you and to me, that we could be in that glory also. And now, as He sits in heavenly places, as Christ is in those heavenly realms with the Father, He said, "And hath raised us up together." Together individually, I think that's part of it. But I believe He raised us up together with Him. See, He didn't say, well, let's say it this way. I see the Lord being raised up and ascending back to the Father, but He said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to raise you up to where I am." And He said, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He raised you and me up that we can enter into that Holy of Holies now. How do we do it? By the blood. that old Adamic nature, that old carnal nature, that man that's in here that we inherited from Adam, that, yes, God could have cleansed us, God could have saved us, but he had to go to the root of the problem. And he said, now is the axe laid to the root of the trees. He had to go down to where the issues of life come from. That's our heart. It wasn't enough to just purify the outward man and say, you're forgiven. Because that old man that's prone to wander, that old man that's prone to stray, that old man that was conceived and steeped in sin, he was still alive and still well. But oh, listen, Jesus went down. He said, his fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his threshing room floor. Thank God today that he didn't just come and sweep us clean on the outside, but he purified our hearts and made us clean on the inside. Now we have that river of water. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is, he spoke of the Holy Spirit that had not yet been given. This is what we have today in part, because in all, in total, but we have much more because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he raised us up together to set together in heavenly places. Not with the old carnal nature, not with that old prone to envy and to lust, to greed, whatever was there. But no, he gave us a new nature. He gave us a new spirit, new life. He said, come sit with me at my Father's right hand. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because he was willing today to shed his blood. Without that, it's impossible. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. He had a mission for us. We've heard about that. And I, in preaching, not every time, but a majority of the time, I'm led to tell about the Lord and the goodness and the mercies and the provisions, but I like to bring it back to who I am and who you are and the responsibility and the duty that that presents to us now. That you and I have a grave responsibility. We've heard about working out our own salvation, working our salvation. That's so true. God gave us a commission. Go ye into all the world. You know what he did? That in the ages to come, I don't know what those ages altogether signify. To me, it's just time now. You've got your time. I've got mine. And then one day we'll step off the scene. If the laurel's still standing, someone else will come and take our seat or take our place where we used to live or whatever. But in the ages to come, your life and my life might glorify God. Why? Because he shed his blood. We were washed in the Lamb that we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Thank God today for the blood of Jesus Christ. Skip down. Oh, let's just go to the 10th so we don't lose a thought here. 11th verse, rather, so we don't lose a thought. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision. He's speaking to literal Gentiles and contrasting that to the those who thought they are that were the chosen people. I think we've got to go a little beyond that and recognize where he brought us from. That at the times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What would you like that to be your lot in life? No hope. No hope beyond this dying breath, the songwriter said. What would it be like to be on the outside looking in? What would it be like to say, I have no hope of eternal life? I have no hope of God's wrath being eased in any way. I have no hope for a Lazarus to cry to and say, dip your finger in water and touch my tongue. That's where man was without God, without the blood, without hope, without God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one. Speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles, I'm sure. But we that were far off were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, it does things to me, and it does it this way. It thrills me, and then it humbles me. I'll be a little personal here. My wife's with the young children right now. But I look at my wife, and I'm thrilled. I'm just excited about it. That's great. She loves me. Aren't I blessed? Am I not blessed? But then it humbles me because I know my faults. And I look at myself in the mirror. And I know how fast I can run a 100-yard dash or how fast I once could. You know, I know my weaknesses and I know my shortcomings. And then I'm humbled that my wife could love me. So there's two emotions going. I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed. And I hug her and I squeeze her. And sometimes I shed a tear that she could love me. You know, here we are. We were strangers far off from the commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope within our life. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God who is rich in mercy, he said, I love you. I see all your faults. And I'm so sorry for you. I'm going to die for you. And when I die for you, I sure hope you allow me to wash you and cleanse you. And I want to bring you back to that which was lost. I want to bring you back to the garden. I want to bring you back to where there's peace with God. And now he said over in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And did Christ come in? Let's say it this way. Ask it this way. When Christ came and he lived a good life, obviously, neither sin nor guile found in him. He healed sick. Well, that's great. He raised the dead. That's wonderful. The man had a withered arm, stretched it right out. Blind, they could see. Sinners were forgiven. He walked on water. He talked to the big old storm that was billowing up, and he said, peace. Even the winds obeyed. But you know, all of that would have been to no avail had he had stopped at the garden and not went to the cross. The remission was not in the goodness of Christ per se. The remission came through the atoning sacrifice of the blood. That's where the atonement was bought, purchased, and paid for. His goodness, his holiness, that made him the proper candidate, the proper one. That qualified him, but it was the blood. The blood. Nothing but the blood. So today, let's praise God for a lot of things, but let's praise him for the blood. Because he said, we that were sometimes afar off, I wouldn't want to embarrass any of us and say, how far off were you? So I just ask you to answer that. And what brought you home? What cleansed you? What raised you up to set together in heavenly places? The blood of Jesus Christ. So we praise him today, we worship him today, and we thank him for the blood. Amen.